This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.TV. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.TV to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It is hour number two of the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan, and we do have some Commanders audio. We'll go across here with you in just a moment. G-Bag Nation, General at your service, Brian Broaddus, Lucius Alexander, Wolchuk and Schiafalo, plus Carter Freeman, and along with you, we are the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Okay, Rangers game coming up, pregame at 8 o'clock tonight, first pitch at 8:40. They fell to the Mariners last night. Chris Young with us yesterday. He was terrific, talking about how much he hates to lose. Many Tolos out there thought he kind of sounded angry, so we asked him about it. You can go back and listen to that entire interview. It happened yesterday at 4:20. Rangers fans, if you want to be fired up for a guy that is, you know, inspired to make this team better, you can listen to Chris Young. I didn't think he sounded mad. I just think he has a very matter-of-fact and business-like way of answering questions. And I feel like he's been that way the entire season. But, you know, multiple people were asking, like, he sounds ticked. And I like it if he's ticked, you know. I think one of the things that jammed me up about John Daniels and the way that he operated things, he was almost at war with the emotional state of competition. I think it's because he wasn't a jock, you know. He was a nerd, and he preached, like, mindfulness, and everything took, like, kind of a soft feel into the leadership. I think Chris Young's going to be a little bit more real.
Yeah.
Maybe a little bit more motivational like that. Speaks the player's language.
We need to sneak a little Cam in there like the Bills did to Ken Dorsey. Because I think you might get a little Ken Dorsey popping out of Chris Young from time to time. Where he just goes absolutely berserk. Yeah. Over a loss.
Well, yeah, no,
I like that.
I know that he, you know, when we had him on earlier in the year and we asked him about being superstitious and he kind of played it off. From what I've heard, he's extremely superstitious and he is a big time. I mean, he grew up in Dallas, went to Highland Park. He grew up a massive Rangers fan. So watching the game, I think he still watches it like we do. He's a fan at heart. So he is absolutely slamming things and mother bleeping, and then he's got to put his GM hat on and go talk to the players and be, you know, as sane as possible. But that's why I love Chris Young, and I really am confident that he's going to get this thing turned around.
With most fiery guys, usually there's a little bit of regret on the back end, and they're like, oh, no. You know, like Banny would always be like, well, I probably shouldn't have shooken my finger at that other manager like that or tried to fight the whole other team. You know, maybe not the best thing I should do. But I think competitive people get wrapped up in the moment and they want to get after it. And they get tucked off when they lose and they need time to really calm down, don't they, Brian?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard. I mean, my personal experience of, you know, working with the Cowboys and growing up here, it's hard because you do. I felt like I let everybody down. I felt like I let all my friends down that, you know, that really love this team. And yeah, there's things that you know, you go through every day and you're like, man, I know we could do this better. I know we could do it another way. I know this could, you know, work. I've seen it work another way. So, yeah, if you know, Chris being a longtime Rangers fan and stuff like that, that's something you're going to feel deep down inside. You do. You feel that. You feel that hurt when you don't get the job done. And in his case, I hope he gets the job done because we didn't get the job
done.
Yeah, we didn't get it done in the early 2000s. And that's the thing. One of my biggest regrets in sports, all my years in sports, was those years that I was with the Cowboys in scouting that we weren't a better football team.
Instead of pitchers, you should have tried, like, basketball players. Like, I heard Allen Iverson was a great quarterback in high school.
I'm not going to lie to you guys. I'd still be in the league if what they're doing today with quarterbacks, when they're just giving up on first-round picks or they're cutting guys that are making $40 million or whatever. We never had that opportunity. And, there's a lot of other things that happened. But the fact when you don't have a quarterback in this league, it, it it absolutely kills you.
Okay, this Commander's audio in 2 minutes. Aaron Judge with number 61. It's been tough for him to get a pitch to hit recently. Pitchers don't want to be the guy, so they've increased the amount of bad pitches to him by like 40%, but he got it last night, and the Yanks are off tonight. Gio Reyna out 10 days with a muscle strain, suffered against Saudi Arabia. I watched that game again last night. He played about 30 minutes. He's a terrific player. He reminds me of the Brazilian Kaká from about 15 years ago.
Okay.
That's what I think of Gio Reyna. He just can't stay healthy. You know, he's hurt for like 6 months, shows up, goes on incredible runs, dribbling the ball, beats like eight players, and then pulls his hamstring at the end. So the great news is, and trust me, if you are interested in American soccer and actually seeing them do good in the World Cup, if you're not plugged in to the American soccer system and what we've built, this is just the beginning. This is just the first generation of players that come on the heels of 40 years of hard work trying to find the right system for developing talent in America. This isn't a fluke that all five of these guys are amazing. It is a fluke that they all appear to have Greg Oden level durability. Yeah. That's the fluke. So the next generation of players, if this group can't stay healthy and dominate, I am really, really confident. You know, and all it would take is for you to be involved in North Texas youth soccer, which is like the capital of the United States, you know, or at least a major one of them, and get an eyeful of what these kids are capable of doing, especially if you grew up like in the 80s, 90s, and you played soccer and you remember it. Go look at what these kids are doing now, and it is freaking unbelievable. And there's like 50 teams in every age group that would go to a lot of states and win the entire championship. So I know a lot of these kids are coming through, you know, North Texas, California, Ohio, Florida. And if you're plugged into that, this World Cup might suck again for us. But the silver lining is we're actually producing amazing players. They're just getting hurt too damn much right now.
Okay, let me ask you a question real quick about that. Do you think the fact that our best players are playing international soccer is a good thing or a bad thing?
That's great.
It's a great thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's where you got to go.
But is international soccer becoming too many matches? Too many.
Everybody does that.
What I'm saying, though. I mean, do you worry about the fitness of our team because these kids
you
got to
manage it, but it's what all teams do because there's so many different competitions for the top
teams.
That's
what I'm saying, though. I'm all for them getting the experience of playing in in any league over in Europe. I'm all for that. The problem I run into is, and it's even what international soccer players have talked about, is the number of matches they play.
Yeah.
That not only their team stuff, but these different competitions that they play in, and then the friendlies and everything else that they have to deal with.
Yeah, it is
a lot. The body can only take so much.
But the players that go over there, the next time you see them after being exposed to that level of competition for a year or two, they move different. They're more urgent. They're more aware because you have to be to succeed in that environment. And I think if you want to consistently have top teams, you got to send all your players over there until MLS rises its level to that.
What is though the EPL done to Pulisic?
Well, he's just been hurt, but he has had a bad year.
Yeah,
he has not been playing well.
No, he's had just a couple of stretches with Chelsea where the manager trusted him and he played well, but then he'd get hurt. I think a lot of it just comes back to the injuries. Yeah. Okay, Commander's audio, Carson Wentz. What is he thinking as he gets set to prepare for Micah Parsons and the Cowboys? Here's Carson.
Yeah, I mean, great player. That's a great defense, great front. They fly around, they play fast. So we know what we're up against. And, you know, I have nothing but confidence in our guys to protect and the things that we'll do to, counteract that and different things. But, again, I'm very excited for the matchup. I know our guys are excited for it. And they're a great defense, great front. And I'm confident we have a great front as well. And we're going to be ready for the challenge.
That's so fake. Oh. Yeah,
well, he even sounds like he's lacking confidence.
Yeah,
I have no doubt.
I have the confidence. I'm like, no, you don't. No, it's a big challenge.
He's a broken guy.
He really is broken. He really is.
I would be broken too. Their drive summaries offensively last week. Talk about nine sacks. Their first 11 possessions were 8 punts, 1 fumble, and 2 turnovers on downs.
Yeah, the problem is it's
dear
him.
God, bro.
It's him, though. I mean, granted.
Yeah, he is a – like, I don't want to be him. The guy that points fingers, but if you were Carson Wentz, I'd be pointing it at you right now.
Their
saying,
offensive
your problem,
line,
sir.
Bad. It is bad. And that left side specifically, Leno and Norwell, their left tackle, left guard combo, horrible. But Wentz is holding onto the ball – the drop back level, I mean, he's He is just, it's kind of similar to what we talked about with Burrow, right? I'd say at least half those sacks were probably on him, Brian.
Yeah. He's in a situation, when you're taking sacks and it's third and five, you're not seeing things. You're not feeling things in the pocket. You know, and the problem with him is he will feel things in the pocket and he will try and make a throw as he's horizontal, you know, and the ball will come flying out or something like that. So, yeah, a lot of his stuff is self-inflicted, I think.
Yeah, and we can actually measure these things now. So the only quarterback worse at preventing sacks is Justin Fields. Carson Wentz is second in line in terms of being the worst in the sport.
Yeah, it's like he's been going backwards ever since his second season.
When he got hurt, I think that hurt him. And then his team won without him.
Yeah.
I think that was tough for him.
Broke his body, then broke his mind.
Absolutely.
And now he's got to worry because Charles Haley was seen photoed working one-on-one with Micah Parsons at practice today.
How about another thing he had to deal with?
Charles Barefoot?
That was probably a Doberman running around.
Let me circle back on that.
The thing about with Wentz, too, his experience in Indianapolis where the owner comes out and says, listen, you two, you general manager, head coach, you don't get rid of him now. I'm getting rid of both of you.
Wow.
That how about that wearing on you a little bit?
Charles Haley foot update in the photo working on the pass rushing today at practice with Micah. He is sockless wearing Nike slides.
Okay.
So
Charles Haley's out there?
His toes are apparent. Yeah, Charles Haley is one-on-one working with Micah Parsons as seen photoed. Ed Werder, good buddy Ed. He tweeted out the photo from practice.
Not to over soccer you in the same segment, but Charles Haley's daughter is a 2-time national champion at Stanford.
Yeah.
She plays professional.
Mm-hmm.
She showed up at Abby's skill session last Friday. She's a former student of this great skills teacher, and she just jumped back in for a warm-up session with like high school and middle school kids, and she was amazing.
Yeah.
I was like, holy crap, it was so cool to get to watch her. And she was schooling everybody, dude. It was it was amazing and sweetest girl, you know, in case you were wondering.
Takes after the mom.
Yeah, takes after the mom, I guess.
did the coach inside you, Dawson, like try to start figuring out how we can doctor up some of these birth certificates and get a ringer on one of your
right?
weekend
Dawson
teams?
Was over there trying to tell her she wasn't any good going through the cones. No, you skipped the cone there. You get back in line.
I was just trying to let Abby know who it was, you know, so she could appreciate it. We got a picture afterwards, though. Okay, Sam Cosmi on what concerns they have about the Cowboys. Here's the offensive lineman.
I don't think we have a lot of concerns. I think we're very optimistic about going in there. It's going to be a very passionate game, very physical game. So, you know, I don't have any concerns. I don't know if anybody else does. I believe in this team. I believe in the coaches, and I believe in the players. So I believe we can go out there and really, really, you know, show our best selves. And I'm confident in that.
Right on.
Yeah, the confidence is just leaking out of you, man.
Yeah.
It is profusive.
That's the problem right there. He knows. You know, he knows, and you know, I think we're a confident group. I'm confident. I don't know about anybody else, you know. I'm like, okay. In reality though, they watch the tape. They know they're up against it. They have a quarterback that holds the ball. They've got skill guys on the outside. They got to try and find a way to get the ball. They got to run the ball. You know, they don't run the ball particularly well, but they have backs that can. That's what's on this offensive line.
Yeah.
And, you know, and he knows that. He knows that. I mean, he was a second-round pick. He's not playing like a guy that was a second-round pick.
No. And the best thing that they can get right now is to not be confident, because what they have to realize is how horrible they were in giving up 9 sacks.
Yeah.
And say, no, we're not confident. Every one of us needs help.
Yeah.
We got to be in mass protect. We can't leave Carson Wentz out like that.
Right.
If we can't do it individually, then we need a scheme. You know, that's the mindset you need.
Absolutely.
Not we're going to be fine.
Yeah.
You're going to be fine. It's going to get you murdered.
We have no concerns. That actually concerns me if I'm a Washington fan, that you don't have any concerns. You should be you don't even, you should be living
Hold on. You don't
at
have
the
concerns?
Office.
I am loaded with concerns right now.
That's all you should
watched
have.
Watched our team.
Well, you knew it'd be, if he was really concerned, he would named every single defensive player.
Fair.
You know, it's like, man, they've got a good, you know, Parsons is good. You know, they've got Armstrong can rush.
Warren's had 3 sacks.
They have to rattle off like 12
names.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. That's when you know they're really, really concerned, when they start rattling off all the names of the guys they have to deal with.
Terry McLaurin on the importance of this game. Here is the Washington playmaker.
Most importantly, the thing on my mind is you don't want to drop 3 games. You don't want to go on the road and get beat in a division and then have a chance of losing 2 division games in a row. So there's a lot, you know, at stake, I feel like, for our team, just to try to get this our momentum back in some positive light for our locker room. But at the same time, I think if we could come out there and play our style of game and really just not get behind early, I think that just gives us the best chance to be successful. Like I said earlier, just more complimentary football, guys flying around defensively, creating havoc and turnovers, and offensively creating explosive plays and sustaining drives. When you have those opportunities, you're going to be in a lot of games. So with a physical team like Dallas, who's going to give us pressure defensively, going to try to create explosive plays on their offense, we got to weather the storm because they're going to be really hyped up coming back in their house in a division opponent.
Yeah, you know, I think...
Well said.
It is a good answer. I think for them as well, their fan base hates the Cowboys so much that if you can beat the Cowboys, then it kind of takes some of the heat off of you for a sustained period. Like, their fans will remember, yeah, bad year, but man, remember when we took it to the Cowboys? It's that sad and pathetic. You know, here, the Cowboys fans are like, whatever, you're just another team that hates us. But I think for Washington and Philly especially, and a lot of the players play into that because they know how much the fan base eats it up. Like, I bet that's what the reporter really meant. Like, yeah, it's Cowboy week. What do you think? And he went into a breakdown about how they got to win the division and all that. All right, when we come back, Nation, let's talk some Mavs. Five focuses of training camp and more as we're now just 6 days away from the start of preseason here in the NBA. That's coming up next, the G-Bag Nation.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Welcome back, Nation. Let's go around the Mavs. We have three or four storylines for you. Segments brought to you by Soda, that's state-of-the-art, and the Frankels. You'd think there'll be less big company trucks on the road because of gas prices. Think again. And those big trucking companies have insurance companies to protect them. So get the representation that won't settle for less. It's the Frankels. 214-333-3333 or online at truckwreck.com. Yeah, Jason Kidd followed up on the idea of not starting Christian Wood. And he says, when you check in at 6 minutes, that means you didn't start. We'll get to talking about his role as we go, but I've never coached him. So I want to first see what he's capable of doing in the different lineups and combos here in the preseason. Then we'll make a decision on where he's going to play, if it's coming off the bench or starting. But right now, he will not start. There's been a lot of attention on this story. It's been interesting. I almost feel like the media is anticipating this is going to be a problem, or maybe they're already hearing that it's going to be a problem. I don't know, but I think when a player comes to a winning situation from a losing situation, I want to give him a clean slate. You know, I don't want to be like, oh, what's Christian Wood going to say? He's not starting. Now, you know, there is some real benefit to it. You know, I think Kidd wants him to know we're giving everything a fair chance, but at the same time, we're going to do what's best for the team. And if you want to start, you probably got to play great defense. So I think this is fantastic coaching. You don't want to get players that have a reputation and start catering to them because you want them showing up in a good mood. You want those good players, if they need to sort of conform to your culture, which is what the Bulls did with Dennis Rodman. Had no problem. And I'm not comparing Christian Wood to Dennis Rodman, but there is that element out there as far as concern. Will Christian Wood's lack of maturity from previous stops become an issue here with the Mavericks? What do you guys think about that topic?
No, I mean, there's definitely it's a question. And some people might be more fearful about it than others. You had kids saying at the media day, like I've said it since the summer, he says that I would bring Wood off the bench and start JaVale. But then you had Christian Wood kind of, the media took it as kind of a joke, but they weren't really sure when they asked Christian Wood about it. And he's like, well, this is the first I'm hearing about it. And he apparently like kind of smiled and they all kind of laughed, but they weren't really sure like, is this like, there's no way this is the first time you've heard of it, right? But like, what's the deal? And then he went on to say like, hey, I'm motivated either way, off the bench or starting. But then they also asked him about like playing alongside Luka. And he was like, we'll see, you know, coming off the bench, we'll see. So it kind of indicated like, well, if I'm coming off the bench, how much time am I really going to share with Luka on the floor? Which I think is an overreaction because you're like, Luka's playing majority of the game And I do anticipate Christian Wood being such a threat offensively that this team's going to need late in games. Like, you're going to get plenty of Wood and Luka. And as you mentioned, Dawson, like, it's a long season, and all this stuff is very, very fluid.
Right.
So, like, it's not like the way we're coming out night one is the way it's just going to be. So you're going to get plenty of Luka and Christian Wood. But just him saying that, like, and you kind of, you don't want him to be overly happy about this. Like, the competitor in him is probably like, dang it, I want to be on the
contract
year.
Yeah, exactly. Sure. It's a contract year. He's got a lot to prove. And for me, it's one of those things where he's probably thinking, and he knows this, right? He's the best player for that position to be starting. And even if he doesn't start, you know, first stoppage, he's getting inserted into the lineup. So, all right, he doesn't start. Fine. Guess who's going to be playing the most minutes of that position? It's going to be Christian Wood. He's your second best player. So it might be kind of a big deal that's being made about it, but in reality, is it going to be that big of a deal? Probably not. He's just not out there for the starting tip. But yeah, he's going to be playing significantly more minutes than JaVale McGee.
And keep in mind, Jason Kidd does have a reputation as a mind bleeper. I think he is a master manipulator. Mm-hmm. He's doing it much more player friendly than he did with the Nets and the Bucks, but that's still part of his MO. You know, that's still. What are you hearing about this, Brian? As far as Christian Wood, what are your sources telling you here? Are we good? Is this going to be clean or?
Yeah, this was one of those things. I asked a couple of guys about this, and this I was told he's working harder than he has ever worked at any point in time in his career. They feel like they've made some progress. They feel like he's kind of got a little bit of a long way to go, but they're working with him. They felt like he's had a great summer so far with everything they've asked him to do. He's one of those guys, he said he's been the first player in the gym every single time that they've had summer workouts.
Boom. Yeah.
So, you know, we'll see. The things that I learned about Christian Wood and, you know, before they signed him was that he was a guy that wanted to be known as a great player on a great team. He thought it was terrible to be a great player on a bad team. Mm. And so the attitude about him, and I know people are saying things about him and all that and the others, but my guys at the Mavs, you know, to a person over there has told me that everything about him this summer has been super positive with his attitude and his willingness to do the work.
Right
put it,
on.
Put
beautiful.
In the work.
It yeah. is. It's around the Mavs. Here's Chia Fallon with the second quarter.
Well, so one of the other things that I think just in regards to Jason Kidd being the mind bleeper, and maybe it didn't work out for him in other places, but it's clearly worked for him here because they've put the success out there. All these guys are buying in on Jason Kidd. So I think advantage here to Kidd and what he's doing, because you have the outsider Christian Wood is now coming into this situation. It's not the team, and then all of a sudden here comes Jason Kidd, who's the outsider that's trying to tweak things. Like, Jason Kidd, they have an established culture and buy-in now with Jason Kidd, and so now it's up to you, Christian Wood, to come in and conform to these guys. Right. So I think there is an advantage there where, hey, Christian Wood, you're coming into our place now. We got a good thing going. We really like this guy in Jason Kidd. And so you need to go ahead and buy in as well.
This is what winners do.
Just to give you the thoughts of Tim Cato, who covers the Mavericks.
Yeah.
In regards to this situation of Christian Wood coming off the bench, he describes it as not a frictionless situation. So there's definitely some disagreement.
Not frictionless.
Yeah, okay. Like he says, it's fair to say there are differing opinions on either side, but this is far from any sort of crisis.
Okay.
He says that it's just as likely to just to naturally resolve than to escalate into anything more serious. So I think that is a well-balanced thing here, and it makes sense. If you're Christian Wood, you're probably, the competitor in you is annoyed that you're going to be coming off the bench, but it's also hopefully chip on the shoulder. Watch, I'm going to go prove you now. And that's where it comes into the Jason Kidd mind bleeping. Yeah. That's his whole idea probably.
Now, I mean, every minute you don't play, it could cost you like $500,000 a year in salary. It's legit. It's just money. Minutes are money at this point as you're going into the final year of your deal. Mm-hmm. If I'm the agent, I'm like, what's this? You know? And if I'm Christian, I'm calling my agent like, man, are we in a bad spot? You know, I that would create some anxiety.
Now, the other thing that that Cato talks about is the vision for Jason Kidd and this team and the way it works. And last year, how the three-guard lineup worked for them so well, but it was kind of out of necessity. And you can see, okay, we have a need for a backup point guard, but we went and got a second big guy is what we actually did. And he says Wood's path to the starting lineup seems likelier to displace Spencer Dinwiddie than McGee.
Really?
So, and go with a two big starting lineup, much like you saw the Lakers do it when they won the bubble championship.
With Davis and McGee?
They did it with McGee and Davis. And so that is, I think that's kind of the idea that Jason Kidd probably prefers in terms of team building, the way he envisions his team. Last year it was just, hey, this is what we have to work with, so I got to do it this way. But now, okay, in the offseason, I'm choosing to go get another big as opposed to replacing the backup point guard. So I just found that
postseason.
Found that to be interesting.
It does. Defensively, you know, rim protection, rebounding. We saw it specifically with Boston. The way they were able to navigate through the East to get to the finals, I think that was a big reason why, with Robert Williams being down low, him and Horford, big reason why they were able to have success having those two bigs playing in that big lineup.
But don't you feel like a big part of the Mavs' success was two handlers on the court at the same time?
Yes, but you're now in a situation where Luka's going to have to be your main facilitator, and unless Spencer Dinwiddie, which I think we are very optimistic on how he's going to perform this year, unless Dinwiddie just forces your hand and says, hey, you can't take me off the floor, I don't mind that strategy from Jason Kidd.
I mean, I like it as a look with Luka and four big guys that shoot threes and play some defense, I guess. But the ball started to move so much better. There's like a domino effect when you get two creators on the court like that together.
What they ideally would like would be two ball handlers, three defenders, and the three defenders that can shoot.
Yeah,
that's their idea right there. I mean, their whole thing, when you, the more you talk to them about it, this thing about defense is not just just lip service. It's real to them. And when they start to evaluate players, it's about defenders. The first thing they say is a defender. That's the first thing they say. So if you talk about a lineup, you know, it would be something like, you know, with Luka, Dinwiddie, Bullock, Finney-Smith, McGee. We'll see, you know. But that's kind of the vision that they have. You know, and then they could slide Wood in and out of that lineup how they need to do it. So two ball handlers, three defenders. The defenders can all shoot.
But I love the idea of being able to go big, you know, if you need to. Because with all these teams going small, you could just punish like Looney did for the Warriors.
Exactly.
All of a sudden, he's just a huge factor in these playoff series because nobody could match up with his size.
Well, they're also talking about that ability to put pressure on the rim. You know, that's what they want to do. Just playing defense, that's big to them. But, that ability to shoot and then the ability to play defense is huge for them.
What you got for us, Wolchuk?
So Callie Kaplan had a great article in the morning news. The biggest focuses for the Mavs heading into training camp. Luka being in better shape certainly is going to be everybody's paying attention to that. And he looks like he has not come in overweight for the first time in 2 years and playing in Eurobasket.
It seemed like a shorter time period of him being off, right?
It was since just a week back. And a half. He got an extra week and a half since they left. They got eliminated a little bit earlier. But, yeah, he did not have as much time off. Hopefully that doesn't hurt him and he's not fatigued. But I'm sure the Mavericks are going to limit his workload if they feel that he is a little bit fatigued. Also, who's going to help Luka, which is what we were just talking about. You know, you lose Jalen Brunson. I think the Mavericks are going to have to see what they have in Frank Ntilikina and Josh Green. We've heard maybe Josh Green starts getting some looks at point guard. I don't know how that's going to look, but maybe the Mavs know something. Maybe they're seeing something there. Hey, if anybody knows point guard, it's Jason Kidd, right? I'm not gonna argue with Jason Kidd there. If he thinks that Josh Green can run the point a little bit, all right, let's see what you have there in Josh Green. But it makes me wonder just a little bit.
Isn't Josh Green kind of a chaos player?
Yeah, he is. Like he's wild. He's like just a freak athlete.
Like he's diving over the scorer's table
he jumps before he knows where he wants to pass it, which is usually a cardinal sin in basketball, but somehow he pulls it off.
Yeah.
I believe he can be a ball handler. I think it's too early. I think he needs like two or three more years of NBA experience before things really calm down for him, but I think he's got the skill set for it.
No question. Where will Christian Wood be playing? What's his role, which we've really talked about at length and covered here? You know, the four, the five. I like the idea of pairing him and JaVale McGee in a big lineup. I also think matchup, who you're playing night in, night out. Also, when you get into a playoff series, who you're playing, if you need to go small ball, if you need to go big, you know, that'll dictate exactly what you end up doing there. The defense, does that carry over? Do you improve? They made such a jump going from 21 to the 7th best defense in the NBA last year. And then who's back healthy? How is Tim Hardaway Jr. looking? I've been saying this all offseason. If the Mavs are going to make a move at the deadline, I think you need Tim Hardaway Jr. to come out on fire the first half of this season because that is your best trade chip.
All righty. Thank you, guys. Love going around the maps here, and yeah, I totally agree with it. Okay, coming up next, it's a G-Bag Nation Presents You Make the Call. Who do you side with, the bullpen coach or his wife who threatened divorce? That's coming up next here on 105.3 The Fan.
And the payoff. There goes the deep left. It is high. It is far. It is gone. Number 61. He ties Roger Maris for the American League single-season record with 61 home runs. It's a two-run Judgian blast. Here comes the judge. A two-run blast, and the Yankees take a 5-3 lead on number 61 for Judge.
Congrats to Aaron Judge for getting it done. I guess here in Arlington, you're going to have to hope to catch the final home run ball. Will that be worth quite a bit too? Like if you get the last one, everyone after this is worth at least hundreds of thousands, right?
Yeah. He's just extending the record now.
Yeah, or he needs to own the record. Well,
he needs to own the record. So 62 will really be the one that's, I think, the moneymaker.
Yeah, 62 would be the moneymaker, for sure.
Okay, so shortly after that bombski, it's a G-Bag Nation Presents You Make the Call. Sarah Walsh, who is the wife, and she's, I think, a longtime Fox reporter and sports TV person. Mm-hmm. She tweets, bad news, I'm down here in Florida battling a hurricane, but the good news is I can announce my retirement because it was her husband, the bullpen coach, Matt Bushman, who hauled in that Blue Jays ball.
Yeah, that's because two Blue Jays fans whiffed leaning over the wall with their baseball gloves and watching their reactions complete and utter despair where you can literally see in their eyes, like, it's just like hundreds of thousands of dollars just went raining down and they didn't catch a single dollar bill. These guys were sick to their stomachs. And
the one guy threw his hat. You see, like he stood up.
Sad and anger.
He's like he stood up and he just like took his hat off.
He should have threw that damn glove of his.
I tell you,
he couldn't catch the darn ball.
He had a shot
on his hand and you still missed it.
He had a shot.
Throw the glove away.
You never live that down.
I'm never coming back to a game.
If you get leather on that ball, you got to bring it in.
100%.
Canadian baseball players? I don't know.
The only excuse you would get, that's a good point. They are Canadian. The only excuse is if you'd be nervous about falling over, right?
You're supposed to fall over. It's hundreds of thousands of dollars. Go ahead and take that fall.
Well, absolutely.
You think, like, ankle cost me 10 G's. Take the fall.
Okay, that's good math. Yeah,
absolutely.
That's good cost benefit analysis. Moments later, Sarah Walsh, upon seeing the video of her husband giving the ball back, she tweets, oh, cool. He just handed that back without checking to see if our house is still here. I'd like to announce our divorce. Okay. Now, checking their social media, they have a fun, good relationship. Yeah. She's just playing. You know, they have a playful
or
relationship.
Is she? Because this is coming up at dinner, definitely, a couple of times. Like, honey, what the bleep?
Really? You know? Why did you do that? Okay, so here's the thing. For Bushman, the bullpen coach, you're inside of baseball. Yeah. You got to do that dude a solid.
Sure.
You know, it's not like you're a fan trying to reap maximum reward back. You got to take care of each other because you might go to Aaron Judge and get balls autographed for the rest of your life now. You might want to go to the Yankees clubhouse to get any one of the other superstars they're going to buy off other teams. And now you got, like, respect for this.
You might need a job with the Yankees.
Yeah.
You might like, oh, look, Bushman helped us out. He's a good dude. Let's hire him.
Aaron Judge wants to get the hell out of New York. Maybe he goes and signs the Blue Jays.
Lots of different ways that can happen. Yeah.
But we want him to sign at the Rangers.
Do you think you guys could keep the ball if you're working inside of baseball, Brian? How bad of a faux pas would that be to keep it?
Oh, I hand it back.
Yeah.
If you've got a job with one of the teams, you have to hand that ball back. You do.
Well, it's just like when we were in Oxnard, I had all my buddies going like, hey, bro, get me one of these. Give me an autograph. Give me a Micah autograph. Give me a Dak autograph or something like that. Like when they're sitting down with us for interviews. And I'm like, I can't do it. I would love to, but it's a poor look.
All right. It's, you know, let's say I'm filling in for Jared. All right. And I saunt over there, you know, and I'm out there. Outfield, Judge ball comes over to me. I catch this sucker. I'm not taking one for the team and keeping this ball for us, and we just split this money. I'm not allowed to do this.
No, you're the backup. You're kind of a, you know, you're right. In, you're out. Does he work for them? I don't know.
For the Rangers. I work for Odyssey. I'm an Odyssey employee.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a different
deal.
Would
I be allowed that? Like, is there
I think you're in the clear for sure. I mean, this Bushman guy and his wife, Sarah Walsh, they have made millions of dollars in their collective careers over the years. You know, I think for a radio guy, you know, who's not actually inside baseball, you got the green light. I mean, to auction that ball off for hundreds of thousands or even millions of dollars, way worth it, right? It's like, oh, you lose
your job. Who
Guys,
cares?
I say we do this. I think we get out there in the outfield.
You know, dang right. Yeah.
I think we need to.
When Roger Maris hit his 61st homer, though, this 18-year-old kid had the ball and handed it back to him, and Roger Maris signed the ball and gave it back to him.
He goes,
here, this will probably mean more to you than it will me. Yeah. And he signed the ball and gave it back to the guy. And then the ball was later auctioned off, but you know, not right then and there. But you can imagine, like, if you give the ball, you're the bullpen coach, you give the ball to Judge and he goes, signs it and gives it back like a Yankee tradition.
Yeah, I think that's what a player should do. I mean, that's a lifetime moment for a fan. You have all these balls. You hit home runs all the time. You know, have a little bit of appreciation for the people that buy the tickets, and a small piece of symbolism would go a long way with the rest of your fan base. Like the story you just told about Roger Maris.
Yeah.
I just got a little bit more respect for him.
Yeah. It's really cool.
Yeah.
Okay, so a couple of cool things did happen after the game. And there's this video of Aaron Judge giving the ball to his mom, you know, behind, I guess.
Oh,
you know, that's pretty cool there. And then there's this story of how the Yankees ended up back with it, because the people in the Blue Jays bullpen were paranoid that, like, somebody would be dressed up as a Yankee or a member of security and approach the bullpen and be like, I'll take that over to Mr. Judge if you could just hand me that ball. So they were hanging on to it for a while until they saw Zach Britton come over, and they recognized Zach Britton, so they handed it over to him, and it made its way on back to the Yankees clubhouse, and there they have a celebration.
See, that's, I think that, to me, if I would have taken the ball, like if I was the bullpen coach, and you know, as he's running the bases, I'd have opened the bullpen door and run the ball to the Yankee dugout is what I would have done.
Yeah,
I would just, you know, while he's circling the bases, you open the door, run it directly to the Yankees, and that way it's out of your hands. You know,
yeah.
It's like, here you go. It's your ball. Go for it.
And you get to be a little bit look at me, Louie, in that situation.
Oh, yeah,
where
you're running like you're holding the ball. I'm the good Samaritan.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Don't need the money.
And that's all it is. It's just the flex of I got enough cheddar. No, but his wife, she ended up following up. She says, just a reporter doing work here. Per my sources, Matt Bushman, who is her husband and the one that caught the ball, he was not forced to give the ball back, but he handed it over to Zach Britton, as Dawson just said. And then she says, and Bushman told me, I love that, like, it's her husband, but she's just calling him, like, very professionally. The Judge and Maris family have been flying all over the country. They deserve to have that ball. That is what the Blue Jays gentleman coach said.
A good exchange of balls.
Yeah, exactly. And I did want to point out here, I didn't want to interrupt you, but I do love that Walchuk, when referencing the idea of him going over to get the ball at Globe Life Field, like, pre-Soto Walchuk refers to himself as waddling over there, but post-Soto Walchuk refers to it as sauntering over. And that's what a losing of 65 pounds can do to your confidence.
Feeling light.
He
baby.
Saunters now.
You got that Dusty Johnson strut.
He hasn't sauntered in 26 years.
I'm strutting.
Yeah.
All right, I've had this body since high school.
Hey, if you got it, flaunt it, Walchuk. You know, that's what Dang I say. Right.
I was in a game at Soldier Field. We were playing, the Packers were playing the Bears, and you might see the video, and I think you get it on YouTube. A fan jumped out of the stands and caught the extra point. He literally dives out of the stands as the ball's coming down and catches the ball as he's going down. Any thought about, if you're a fan, do you dive out of the stands to try and get the ball?
Yeah.
I mean, do you, like, you're seeing it, do you make a leap and just try and, like, maybe you end up on top of the bullpen coach and all that. But if you catch the ball before you hit the ground,
it's yours.
Is it your ball?
I think so.
Absolutely. And in that case, you really earned it. You didn't just luckily, oh, it just landed right here. I went and I put the work in for this thing.
You're a legend.
I risked it. I am I'm athletic.
But do you get kicked out because you jumped into the field of play?
Maybe.
It's worth it.
But you're cradling that ball.
Yeah.
You know? You can kick me out. You can charge me with trespassing.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you're getting onto the field.
Sure.
But you get to keep the ball? I don't know, but I don't think you get to keep the ball.
I wouldn't take it from you. You know, I think you earned it, like Chief said. Okay, we'll take you to church, see what Barry Church thinks about this and other sports topics coming up next here on 105 Through the Fan.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof?
Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.